He said, the reason I'm praying this is for this reason. I want you what? He says, I want you to live a life worthy of your calling. Remember now, we're talking about growing in gratitude. I want you to live a life worthy of your calling. So because of that, this is what I'm going to pray. This is how I'm going to pray so that he can live a life worthy of his call. Man, I hope y'all getting this. Man, this ought to be changing the way you pray. Right? No more of this, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. It's time for grown-up praying, amen? Yeah, you want the kind of prayer that's going to be productive and fruitful and make a change in somebody's life. So that when you see them again and they start telling you about what God is doing, you can dance because you say, I've been praying for you and I see what God been doing. Woo. Okay, I got to get back to the text. He says, live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. In every way. Not just in some ways, but in every way. Your life then becomes a marker, an identifier, a description, a witness, a testimony to the power of God in the way you're living. There's no area of your life that you have excluded from the authority and power of God's rule. I belong to you, God, and therefore all of me is exposed to your will. Right? So he says, in every way. And I love how he then kind of enumerates that you're going to bear fruit in every good work so that what you do won't be empty. That you won't be laboring in vain, but your labor is going to produce fruit because you are focused on the right things and you are doing the right things in the name of the right one and by the power of the right one. Amen. He says, growing in the knowledge of God. So you're bearing fruit and you're learning more and more about who God is, which means that when you see me next week, I'm going to know more about God than I know today. I'm not going to settle on today's revelation. Amen. Oh, I'm not going to leave and say, well, I got enough. I'm not going to try to make it through the week saying, boy, this one meal is going to hold me for the next 6 days. No, no, no. What I'm hoping is that by the power of the Spirit of God is that you're going to be inspired and encouraged to kind of say, God, I want to know more of you. And don't you know that when you start to seek him and pursue him, he doesn't hide from you. He says, oh, you want more of me? Here I am. Then he starts to open up and give you greater understanding, not only about what you read, but what you see. Amen. He starts giving you greater understanding, not only about who he is, but who you are. He starts helping you to walk in the trueness of who he has called you to be. And so you're growing in the knowledge of God. And then you're strengthened. You're strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. But we can just drop the mic on that, can't we? When you think about God's power and the fact that when you're weak, if you're leaning on him, that's when you actually become strong. But when I am weak, then am I strong if I'm leaning on him. Amen. If I'm weak and I'm leaning on my own self, I'm going to stay weak. In fact, here's the truth. If I'm weak and I'm leaning on my own self, I'm actually going to fall. Amen? Yeah, but if I'm weak and I'm leaning in on him, he will strengthen me so that I am able to stand. So that he says, you're going to be strengthened through his power, according to his glorious might. And here's why: so that you can have great endurance and patience. Brothers and sisters, beloved, God wants you to endure until the end. God does not ever want you and me to throw in the towel on what he has said he would do. God does not ever, ever want us to say, you taking too long. See, endurance and patience. He don't want you to say he taking too long. It's a bad, bad, bad mistake when you decide that God is taking too long and you start taking matters in your own hand. Amen. It's a terrible decision when you say, God, I tried to wait on you, but apparently you got stuck in traffic. God is like, what's wrong with you? Don't you know I don't flow through traffic like that? You done missed the whole mark. You know, you done missed who I am. He says you need to endure and be patient. And here's what it implies. It implies that you're going to have some challenges. It implies that you're going to have some hardship. It implies that you're going to have some enemies. It implies that you're going to have some things that will press up against you to try to keep you from receiving what God wants you to have. It implies that there is an enemy that you cannot see that is working against you to prevent you from receiving all that God wants you to have. It implies the truth of John chapter 10, verse number 10. You know the one that says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he says that when the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, you need to learn how to stand and endure so that you can receive what God has promised. And if you're not willing to endure, you won't receive, because not all good things come so easily. Sometimes you got to press. Sometimes you got to work through. And in order to do it, you got to endure. So he's saying you need to have endurance and patience. Endurance and patience. I don't have it yet. I haven't received it yet. But I'm yet going to press. I'm going to keep holding on, because God, I believe that you can do exactly what you said you can do. Amen. And can I just tell you, you got to talk to yourself. Amen. And it don't matter who see you talking to yourself, as long as you ain't answering yourself. I want to clarify. Don't be saying self. You say what you got to say, and then you jump on the other side and you respond. No, no, now we going to know something. But you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Because when it gets hard and there is nobody else around, what you need to remember is that God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. That even though you may not be able to see him, you sense and you know that he is there. And even though it might be like you're talking to yourself, you're not really talking to yourself. Sometimes you gotta speak up and declare what God has said so that you can press through the tough stuff to receive what God wants you to have. Don't you know that sometimes your enemy does not want you to be at peace, but God wants you to have peace? When you search the scriptures, what you discover is that there are so many places where God talks about you in your peace. In Isaiah 26 and 3, he says that you will be in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on him. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And then he says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. But the thief don't want you to have peace. I don't want you to have peace. And so even though you're trying to get peace, he's trying to rob you of your peace. You put one issue to rest and he'll bring another one to your mind. Have you troubled in your heart, troubled in your mind, troubled in your spirit? And you've got to keep recounting the word of God, standing on the word of God. And for every issue that the enemy raises up, you've got to have a word from the Lord that addresses that issue. Girl, don't be scared to clap. That was worth clapping for. Amen. Amen. You've got to have a response to the attacks of the enemy. And your response is found in the word of God. And it's not just you kind of allowing the word of God to ruminate in your mind. You've got to open up your mouth and declare the word of God. Speak the name of Jesus in your atmosphere so anything that's in proximity will hear that you trust in the name of Jesus Christ. And at his name, everything, right? Has to bow. Look at these next words he says. You're being enduring, you're enduring, you're being patient, and you are joyfully giving thanks. Amen. So growing in gratitude kind of has with it this idea that, man, I've got to endure some stuff. My gratitude is not based upon the fact that everything is perfect in my life. My gratitude, my thankfulness is based upon the fact that I know the one who is perfect. My gratitude, my thankfulness is based upon the one, I know the one who is able to change my circumstances and my situation. My gratitude and my thankfulness is based upon the fact that, man, what I thought would stop me yesterday didn't stop me yesterday. And today I'm still pressing into what he has called me to be. And so I'm enduring through trouble. And when I realize that it is not anything that I have done, but it is all because of his goodness, all because of his mercy, all because of his grace, all because of his provision, what bubbles up out of me is gratitude. For gratitude is the expression of gratefulness or thankfulness for that which has been done for you. Amen. And when I can look back and think through and realize that the reason that I'm still standing is because of God's love bent toward me. It keeps me from getting arrogant. It keeps me from getting puffed up. It makes me want to bow down and worship. God, you didn't have to show up. Woo! But you did. God, you didn't have to block that dart that was being thrown at me. But you were my shield and my protector. God, you didn't have to give me an umbrella when the rain was coming, but you were my shelter in the time of a storm. And you well up, you allow the gratitude to well up in you, and you learn how to joyfully give thanks to God who has called you, there it is, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. That word kingdom. I don't know, for those of you who have been on midweek Bible talk, we've been talking about the kingdom, and there, everywhere you look, kingdom starts to pop up. Talks about in his kingdom, the kingdom of light. Then it says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So growing in gratitude. First, to grow in gratitude, you've got to recognize, you individually have to recognize what God has done for you through the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. You've got to recognize that. In order for you to have or grow in gratitude, you've got to recognize what has actually happened, what took place. I love Psalm 103. When you get a chance, I want you to go back and read Psalm 103. Because it talks about you being able to bless the Lord, praise the Lord. And it says, oh, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The first benefit it talks about is that he forgives you of all your sins. Whoo. Oh, my goodness. He didn't leave none out, did he? Oh, you know what that word all means, huh? There are no exceptions. He got them all covered. Oh, my goodness. See, that's what Jesus did. That's what God did for the person who put their hope and their trust in Jesus. He says, your sins are forgiven. And I like the way that Paul states that in this verse. Look at it again in verse 13. For it says that he rescued you from the dominion of darkness. That while you were yet living in your sin, doing what you thought you were big enough to do, doing stuff your own way, knowing what God said, but choosing to do it your way, you were under the dominion of darkness and sin. Did you know that? Did you know that you were once under the rule, the dominion of darkness? And don't you know when you're walking in darkness, you bump into everything? Yeah, you do. And when you're walking in darkness, everything scares you. It does. Because you don't know what's around you. And every little noise is something that's coming to get you. But he said he rescued you from the dominion of darkness so that you are no longer ruled by the darkness of this world. But now you've been rescued from the darkness of this world and you've been ushered into his kingdom of light. And you know what light does with darkness. There is no fellowship between light and darkness. Every time light tries to get close to darkness to have a conversation, darkness gets up and runs. Light is coming and say, wait, I just want to talk. Darkness say, Because there is no fellowship between light and darkness. So that means that when he rescued you from the dominion of darkness and brought you into the kingdom of light, now he has set you free from that thing which had dominion over you. So now you start giving thanks to God because there was something that once had a hold on you that Jesus Christ has provided the means by which you can be set free. Amen. You had a tongue that was so foul that nobody could stand being around you. You were operating in the dominion of darkness. But now that you've been delivered from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light, your tongue has been set free to speak truth. And not condemnation. Amen? Because you've been rescued and brought out of darkness into light. So you learn how to give gratitude for what God has done in bringing redemption to your soul and forgiving you for your sins. You learn how to give thanks not only for the forgiveness of your sin, but listen, the price that was paid for you was astronomical. Amen? It was. And we value things by the price that's paid for them. Right? So before, when you thought you were no good, based upon what others said, when you thought you had no value, based upon what others said, when you were redeemed, purchased, bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, he bought you and paid for you with a price that cannot be matched by anything in this world. The price of silver changes. The price of gold changes. The dollar, as you know, when impacted by inflation, loses its value in what it can buy. Amen? Oh, okay, you don't believe me. When you leave here, go down to Quick Trip, stop, and I want you to go buy a gallon of gasoline for a dollar. You're right. It will not happen. It will not happen. Because these earthly things that we call our economic system, they change value based upon kind of what's going on. You know how it is with your savings account, your 401k, your retirement account. You know how it is. You can look at it one day and it's looking good. But overnight, something happened. What happened to my money? Because somebody heard some news about something else that was going on. They decided that all of a sudden the stock market gonna change, and what I had yesterday ain't the same today. But here's the wonderful thing that you and I need to know, that there is nothing that can happen in the history of this world that will ever change the power and the value of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because there is nothing in this world that ever established the value of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because he is the image of the invisible God. He is the one who everything was created for him and by him. And he is the one who establishes the standard. Therefore, when you talk about where the stock market or where the value should be, he sets it and establishes it. So he says it will be always, always, always be where you can't afford it. But he said, here's the good news. I gave it for you. And I purchased you myself with something that you couldn't afford. And when I did that, I established on you a value that can never, ever be erased. Absolutely never, ever be erased. You are eternally valuable to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You have eternal value that cannot be changed by what you go through or what others do to you. Your value has been established by heaven itself, and there is nothing on earth that can change it. And so you give thanks in the middle of what you might be going through. You give thanks that your value has not been set by the interpretation of people. Oh, y'all don't have to get excited about it. I got some folk that always want to add value or take value away from my life, so I'm excited that I don't have to go by what they say. I can hear what the words that they use, and their words have little power if it ain't been endorsed by the Spirit of the Lord. And when they finish wasting their breath trying to tell me my worth, I can follow it up with hallelujah. Oh, you don't have to get excited. Maybe you don't have folks that's trying to determine where you need to go in your next position at work. You don't have folks that's trying to determine what you need to do or how you should be viewed. But I still live in that world where folk trying to make decisions for me. And I need to know that their decisions don't determine my worth. Their decisions don't determine my value. And their word is not the last word, because my King has the final say. And so when they're in the middle of talking all that nonsense, since I can still give thanks. And what it does is that helps me grow in my gratitude, because when I'm listening to nonsense and still able to give thanks, that's a sign that I'm growing up. I don't have to retaliate to the nonsense with nonsense. I don't have. Woo! I can simply remember. Say it, man. How good God is and what he has done for me and the value that he has placed on me cannot be erased. Amen. I used to have this illustration that I loved doing. It was a great illustration. I would take a $100 bill and it would be nice and crisp. And I would hold that $100 bill up. Yeah. She said, what do you mean that you used to do? You don't do that no more? We just got through talking about inflation. And I would take that crisp $100 bill and I would crumble it up in my hands so that what was crisp is now wrinkled. What you say, girl, the value? Value's still there, right? Even though I've taken that crisp $100 bill and I've crinkled it up in my hands and wadded it up, I can still give it away, can I? You got it? When I take that thing and unwad it and it's got all the creases in it, the value of it hasn't changed, has it? And if that wasn't enough, I'd take that same $100 bill and I would put it on the floor and I'd start to walk all over it, getting it dirty. So now it's all crinkled up and now got dirt that's resting in the crevices of the crinkles and it's surely you don't want it now, do you? He said, I do. I still want that $100 bill because you understand the value hasn't changed because of what it has gone through. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. When you and I can get to the place of where we understand that what we go through, that's not what determines our value. Amen. That's not what it is. Our value is determined by the one who rescued us from the dominion of darkness, who paid for our redemption with his blood, and who said that you are precious to me. And that no matter what you're going through, I still see you. I still love you, and the purposes that I have planned for your life will still be fulfilled. No matter what you've been through, you're going to make it. Yeah. And see, when you and I can go through our stuff and we can give thanks in the midst of it all, that means we're growing in gratitude. Amen. We're growing in gratitude because we understand that, oh, this stuff ain't nothing but a stepping stone. Oh, yeah. This stuff ain't going to do nothing but make me have greater appreciation for this wonderful God who has loved me enough to rescue me out of my mess so that I can become his masterpiece. You do know that you are his workmanship, created for good works that he established beforehand. Yeah. You've already got, he's got some stuff laid out for you, and he's trying to let you know that what I've laid out for you, I'm going to make sure that you make it through. You're going to do it. The stuff that we experience in this world through people, through circumstances, never ever diminishes our value nor separate us from his great love. So that means that while we're in the midst of it, we start expressing gratitude and giving thanks to him. Amen. Wow, there's a story that's told. It's recorded in Luke, I think it's chapter 17. And when you get a chance, go and read it. Take a look at it. Because it's a powerful story about gratitude. Luke 17. It's a story about 10 lepers who wanted to experience healing in their lives. Leprosy, as you know, is a disease that caused them to be separated from their community. They had to be isolated. It was a group of 10 of them that apparently had come together and said, well, you know, we'll share community together. You know, we've got this same ailment that we're dealing with. Nobody wants to be sick alone. So one day when Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, they see him. And they start to call out the really loud voice. Jesus. Jesus. Man, he act like he can't hear. A little bit loud. Jesus! Master, as if Jesus wasn't enough. Let me add master to it, right? Master, have mercy on us. Have pity on us. Like, what you want? Of course, they want to be healed, right? So he says to them, go, show yourself to the priests. Because the idea was that when the priest was the one who actually made the designation that they had been cleansed. So he didn't say, go to the doctor. He said, go to the priest. The priest will say, yep, this sickness, this disease that you had is now cured. You're taken care of. No problem. So in faith, they take Jesus at his word and they start leaving to go see the priest. It is in faith because when he says, go show the priest, they still have leprosy. And so he's called them to make a move and to take some action. They said, I want to be healed, but he said, you go do this. Oh, that's a whole nother sermon, but I'm not going to go there because, you know, folks are wanting healing, but Jesus is saying, no, I need you to do this. And folks are saying, I don't want to do this, but I want healing. And you can't get healing until you say, do what Jesus said, do. That's another message. We're going to pick that up one day. And so he says, go see the priest. So they leave in faith to go see the priest. All 10 of them are on their way. And as they are walking together, man, I thought that dude was going to come over and pray over us, do something. All he said was go see the priest. I'm telling you the truth. Well, man, just go see the priest. What you got to lose? Got leprosy. Just go see the priest and stop complaining. I get tired of you complaining all the time. Oh, man, why don't you just be quiet? If you ain't got nothing good to say, just hush. Just don't say nothing. I'm trying to go see the priest. And when I get there, I'm going to have a bad attitude because of you. Just be quiet. As they're walking, one of them recognizes that there's been a change. Something has happened. Simply because he is walking in faith to go do what Jesus said do, something has happened. You want me to bring you the mic, girl? She said before he could get to the priest. Before he could get to the priest, something happened. So the healing went into going to the priest. Oh, that's another message. You see, that's what happened when you... Never mind. Help him, Holy Ghost. So the one that realizes that something has happened, he's healed, he's cleansed, he stops. Go to the priest. Man, I need to go back and tell this dude, thank you. You didn't do it the way I thought or we thought you was going to do it. But while I was on the way, that stuff that was eating away at my body, all of a sudden it lost its control. It no longer has power on me. And that which was now rotten is now being made whole again. Look at me. I don't have these spots anymore. I've been cleansed from leprosy. So he goes back and he runs to Jesus and he's giving thanks to Jesus. Jesus said, wait a minute. Nah. I know. I know it was more than one of y'all. He said, what happened to the other nine? Going to the priest. Going to the priest. Caught up in their system. Not growing in gratitude. Not realizing the one that has given them the healing. Going somewhere else to get acknowledgement of what has taken place, but not giving gratitude to the King of Kings and the one who is able to heal their soul. See, when you grow in gratitude and you learn how to give thanks and you recognize the source of your strength, you recognize the source of your healing, you recognize the source of your peace. When you start growing in gratitude and you start giving thanks to God because he's the one that did it, when he brought peace in your house that was full of confusion, it ain't because you got all clever. It was because God showed up and you start to recognize that, oh, it was God. And you pause and you give gratitude. He says that when you grow in gratitude, you got a little something extra that's coming, because when this brother showed up and he gave thanks unto the Lord, not only was he cleansed, but Jesus said, go in peace. Your faith has made you well, it has made you whole. It has sozoed you. You know what sozoed means, right? Sozo is that word that is used for salvation. It is the word that talks about you have been saved. You've been rescued. You've been delivered. You've been set free. He said, not only have you been cleansed from the leprosy, but everything that the leprosy took from you is going to be restored. He said that you're going to be taken care of, because that's what salvation looks like. You walk through the door saying, I trust Jesus. But when you get through the door, you discover that, boy, he's got a whole lot more to give. And Sozo says that now it's available to me because I've exercised an attitude of gratitude, and I can receive from him freely that which he wants to give. Amen. Be like the leper, the one that returned, and learn to give thanks. Be grateful for what he has done. Amen. Can you give God a big hand clap of praise for what he's done in your life? No, for what he's done in your life. If he hadn't done much, go ahead and give him a little pat. If he ain't done much, a little pat will do. Right? But if he's done something for you, can you go ahead and celebrate him like he's done something for you? Yeah. Remember, he's worthy. Oh, really? He is. He's worthy. Woo. He's worthy. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that bought our redemption, that set us free, that welcomed us into your family as your children. We thank you that because of Jesus, we are no longer alienated from you, but we are close to you. We thank you that because of Jesus, we have been delivered, set free from the enemy that tried to hold us down. Thank you. Because of Jesus, we can walk in triumph, in victory. Because his work was complete. And it took care of every issue that should ever confront us in this life. And therefore, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. The praise team sung a song earlier, and in that song they were saying, I put my name on it, he put his name on me. If you've never allowed Jesus to put his name on you, I want to afford you the opportunity right now for you to allow Jesus to put his name on you. If you're here with us today and you've never declared that Jesus died for your sins and that God raised him from the dead, I want to give you the opportunity right now to do so. You don't have to make a speech of any kind. It's just a declaration of faith. The Word of God says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. That's another way of saying that he'll write his name on you, that your name will become registered, written in the Lamb's book of life. If you've never done that, if you've never believed or confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, nor believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, why don't you be bold enough to make that move today? And when I say bold, I want you to be bold enough to walk down. I've got a couple of empty chairs in front of me here that I want you to come and sit in if that's you today. Just make a public confession of what your belief is. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, that God raised him from the dead, that you might have eternal life. If you've never done that, will you take a few moments and give him your life today? Place your trust, your hope in him today. Father, we stand before you and we don't want to miss this opportunity. And we invite you into our presence and ask that by your Spirit you will move, that you would rest upon us as only you can. In Jesus' name.